grace, the undeserved and unending love, and peace, a wholeness, a shalom to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through whom you are God's field. Amen. Sermon text for today, I mentioned to the children, it's the very promises of God, particularly St. Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, which reads when Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. Will you pray with me, please? Let the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You don't grow the church. I can't think of a clearer way than how St. Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7, saying, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, only God who gives the growth. Paul planted the seed of God's word in Corinth. Apollos watered it, but neither of them could control its growth. Only God gave the growth. And did he ever? Yet my question, perhaps Trinity's question, and maybe even our whole church body's question remains, how can we grow the church? Or maybe it sounds like, how can we get more young children and young families in the church? How can we get our people to give more money? How can we get more people in the pews? Well, maybe a bit off focus, these questions come from people like us who care about others and certainly about our Lord's church. We've seen churches age over time. We've seen families disappear over the years. We've seen churches that are dying or have died. We've seen a growing debt with less available income. And our first reaction is to say, how can we fix this? How can we grow this church? Now, to be sure, we are wise stewards about what our Lord has given us, both in our home and in the church. But thankfully, when it comes to church growth, God's word, Jesus himself, has the answer, and it's as clear as Paul's directive to the Corinthians. Christ says in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 28, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself. First the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. You see, the man who scatters the seed on the ground doesn't even know how it grows. But it does. The earth produces by itself. Our Lord will grow his church all by himself. But no, we won't let that be. We know that we can do something about it. We make evangelism into our idol. And we share the message with those outside of these walls. Instead of believing God's promise that you are God's field, we say to outsiders, you are the church's marketing ploy. You are the church's idol. We take matters into our own hands. We can fix this. We can grow the church. Evangelism, rather than, well, we make it our idol, rather than good news for people in despair. We take people outside of our walls and we make them objects to be conquered or trophies to be hung on our church wall. You know, we can just try one more program. We'll get this thing right. Hey, let's try T4M, Transforming for Missions. Instead of trusting in God's promises, we make the mission emphasis, the answer. Strike one. Well, let's try a stewardship campaign. Instead of trusting in God's promises, His Word, to change our hearts and lives according to our finances, we're going to do everything we can to wring every last dollar out of our people so that we can pay the bills. Strike two. Well, let's try VBS, Vacation Bible School. Instead of focusing on handing down the faith in Christ we have from generation to generation, we'll try something new, exciting, and flashy to bring children into the church. Strike three. We're out. Out of answers, out of energy, and nearly out of our minds. We've taken these good ideas, like T4M, like a stewardship campaign, like VBS, and turned them into our idols, trusting in our made-up promises of fast growth rather than trusting in the one who not only can grow, but does grow His church, His field. And as we think about the growth in our lives and the growth in God's church, His field, it often is small, insignificant, and quite slow. However, the end result is well worth the wait. Jesus speaks of this reality in Mark chapter 4, verses 30 to 32, saying, "With what shall we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown is the smallest of all the garden seeds. But when it is sown, it grows and becomes larger than all plants in the garden and spreads out its branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." Our struggle isn't so much with growth in our lives, or the growth in God's church, His field. It's the fact that we can't always see it, that we can't control it, that it doesn't happen as quickly as we would like. Yet our Lord knows well the time that it takes to grow. Luke chapter 2, verses 39 and 40 says of Christ, "And after Joseph and Mary had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into their own country, into Galilee, into their own town of Nazareth. And the child Jesus grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." Jesus grows. After marveling the teachers of the law, when Jesus spoke with them at the Passover as a young boy, Luke 2:52 proclaims, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus grows. John the Baptizer, when speaking of his cousin and Messiah Jesus, talks about the growth of our Lord in John chapter 3, verse 30, saying, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Jesus grows. He grows. His name becomes great among the people. Over all Palestine, before Pontius Pilate, in front of the chief priest, as a propitiation on the cross, a sacrifice for your sins and mine, for the sins of the whole world. As the primary resurrection, the first to be raised from the dead. And when He comes again on His return, as every knee will bow. Philippians 2, 8 through 11 declares this. "And being found in human form, Jesus humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and has bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus grows. And the one who grows likewise grows his church. Isaiah 55:10-11 tells us, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." Jesus grows his church, his field. You. You are that field, God's field, watered in the promises of your baptism, flooded by his forgiveness in his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. We hear the very word of God today, and our misdeeds are absolved, washed clean. We are baptized into Christ to hear the good news of our Lord, to love and to serve our neighbor, to trust in his promises, to grow in them, to flourish as his field, rooted in his promises. Psalm 1 promises itself, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a stream planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and whose leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." You are God's field. Psalm 92:12-13 continues, "The righteous flourish like a palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of our Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God." You are God's flourishing field. And as God's field, by faith in Christ, we are responsible not to grow God's church, his field, but to be faithful to plant, to sow the seed of God's forgiveness among unbelievers and Christians alike, to water that seed, to teach our children and our church's children the promises of God, and to pray to the Lord of the harvest to grow his church, his field, by his word as he has promised. Then we realize that these programs and ideas like T4M, Transforming for Missions, a stewardship campaign, and VBS, Vacation Bible School, are not the hope of the world, the idols in which we trust to save God's church, but simply another wonderful opportunity to plant, to sow the seed as Paul did, to water it as Apollos, and God will continue to grow his church, his field. Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." You are God's field. 2 Peter 3:17 and 18 encourages us, saying, "But you, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be careful not to be carried away by the error of lawless people and then lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You are God's growing field." Once again, hear God's promises through Paul. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 to 9, Paul saying, "I planted, but Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who planted nor he who watered is anything, only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's growing field." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.